says you can't do something like this in the middle of summer. I'm having a great time. Middle of the week, middle of summer, all good. Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tony Luffman's coming up next segment. I'm getting some reaction to the take that I had at the end of hour number two, LeBron James. And nobody likes anything like he likes Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday!
You know, a little corny, but I want to give him credit. I want to give LeBron credit because if you're LeBron James and you've got the kind of business interests that he has, obviously that's a big family guy. The fact that he's got his family together says a lot about him as the leader of his family, as a father. I mean, I love that. Trust me, I've got two kids. My life is not nearly as involved or as complex as LeBron's. And I know how tough it is, how challenging it is to get four people around a dinner table. It's really hard. So he's fired up for Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday!
I think that's cool. Meantime, lots of different reaction to it. Romy, it's Taco Tuesday! Regards, Oprah.
Matt Midler!
You get a taco. You get a taco. Everybody gets a taco. Yeah, I don't think Oprah was giving away tacos. I think she was giving away cars. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. Man, what would you give to be a part of that audience? That's not a taco. That's not like, hey, you steal a bag. All of America gets a taco. Oprah's rich, but not rich enough to have a promotion where all of America gets a car. Geoff and Lincoln sent that. His subject is that the king or Oprah? Hey, Jim, it's Tuesday somewhere. Son, Mark Grace. Mike in Buffalo. Walking around weight 170.
It's Tuesday somewhere.
He said it's Tuesday somewhere. He's talking about Mark Grace's famous slump busting take back in the day. You believe that was a thing? Like I could never play that on the show right now. I can't believe that I ever did play that on the show. I'll give you one story about that. So when I first got a daily TV show on ESPN, what we did was we took some of the radio bits, and you know, these things turn over, you reset them, and things that you hear on one day might work later that week or the week after. So that was a thing, Mark Grace on, quote, slump busting. You know, major leaguers all go into slumps. The thing about a slump is you never know how you go into one, and you never know how to get out of one. It's just baseball. So baseball players have different types of ways to, quote, slump bust. Mark Grace had an all-timer.
Slump buster.
Go find it. It's not hard to find, but you're not hearing it on this show ever again. It's right up there with Toby in Houston. So I remember he came on, and we did that on ESPN right after I got that job on ESPN. Not my first job on ESPN, but my second job on ESPN. When my guy Mark Shapiro was running that network, and he brought me back for JRIB. Let's just say that that was one of the early times in my career where I learned there are certain things that you can say on radio that you cannot say on TV. Much as I learned later on, there are certain things that I might say on TV that I might not tweet. It's just weird. Know your room. I did a whole thing on this when I was one of the keynote speakers at the Talkers Convention in New York. Know your room. Know your room. Know your audience. Know what you're saying and where you're saying it. That goes back to, quote, slump busting. And as far as Mark Grace goes, Mark Grace was a jungle legend, one of the best interviews ever. Mark Grace was on top before Elk was on top. But then he got a little squirrely and just disappeared. And Elk just keeps showing up, just showing up. Elk is still dangerous. Elk is really dangerous. I had to get out of that interview, not only because we were out of time, but I know Elk. I know Elk. And I know when Elk is feeling it, and when Elk's getting loose, and when Elk is about to uncork one 500 yards. So not only does Elk still do it, Elk is still dangerous, which is why the clones love him. Rome, what's wrong with LeBron's shirt? signed Dads in Wool Socks and Shorts, Wearing Fanny Packs, and a Federal Bureau of Intoxication shirt. Jake in Seattle, unwore the living hell out of novelty shirt guy. It's Tuesday somewhere. Right, Braun, right in your backyard, it's Tuesday. Right at your table, it's Tuesday. Again, that it's 5 o'clock somewhere thing only works when you're drinking and it's not 5 o'clock where you are. It works when you get on an airplane at 7:15 in the morning and you ask for a scotch. That's when you look up at the stew and you say, flight attendant, and you say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Right, sir, but it's 6:30 in the morning here. Are you sure you want that scotch? Yeah, I do. I'm on a business trip. This is how we do business. Really? By smashing little bottles of scotch? It's 6:15 in the morning? That's how you do business? Yeah, you never heard of the three martini lunch? I never heard of a three martini breakfast. Sir, are you sure you want that scotch? You have your 6-month-old in that baby Bjorn right now. And it's 5:30 in the morning. Bring it. Yes, I want it. Go ahead and put it over one ice cube, all right? Does that make you feel better? Hey, Rome. Why does only Taco Tuesday get love? Everyone has been sleeping on mounds of meatloaf Monday. Wings by the 4 dozen Wednesday. Tons of toaster strudel Thursday. And 14 Filet-O-Fish Friday. Come on, LeBron. Yours, Jelly Belly Clarkson. Aaron in Omaha. Hey, Aaron, you're better than that. Or at least I thought you were. There is no such thing as 14 Filet-O-Fish Friday. And I know for damn sure there's no such thing as tons of toaster strudel Thursday. Bro, you can't just affix types of foods with the same letter and call out alliteration and act like these days exist. There is a Taco Tuesday. There's not Wings by the 4 dozen Wednesday. This email says, not uno, not dos, not tres, not siete.
Not three, not
regarding
four,
LeBron,
not five,
deciding how many tacos to
six,
eat.
Not seven.
If this sounds like I'm giving this take a little extra because I haven't gotten my call yet for Space Jam, that's partly true. I'm not auditioning for that, Braun. I'll try and do this. This email reads, we're going to take Macaroni Monday. We're going to take Taco Tuesday. We're going to take Waffle Wednesday. We're going to take Thousand Island Thursday. Then we're going to go to French Fry Friday. And we're going to go to Saturated Fat Saturday. Ah!
We're going to California.
Signed, Howard
Dean. Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon.
That
and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Ah! I wonder why that guy didn't win. Who didn't want to vote for him after hearing that? Hey, Jim, every day is Taco Tuesday for me. I normally grab 500. Signed, Mangino. You see, that's where you end up. I mean, it's so easy and so convenient. It's like the lowest hanging fruit ever, and you still can't handle it. Hey, Jim, LeBron is a big fan of Taco Tuesday. We are big fans of Freebase Friday. Regards, bums. See, that's how quickly that thing went sideways on me. I knew you couldn't handle that, clones. I knew you couldn't handle that. Easiest thing ever, and you still jacked it up. Tony Luffman's coming up in a few moments. 1-800-636-8686. What I still want to get into is what happened with the Nets and Kevin Durant. It's been 2.5 weeks since Durant announced that he was going to join the Nets. According to the Nets, they were as shocked as anybody. GM Sean Marks told WFAN that they were kind of in the dark when it came to KD's decision-making process.
What we knew was we were either in a phone call, a teleconference call with Kevin that night, or we were potentially going to get a meeting. And, you know, we'd seen some media reports earlier in the day that Kevin had crossed several teams off his list, and, you know, we were still one of them. And, you know, those reports were there for everybody to read. And then when Kevin posted it on the boardroom Instagram site, that was news to all of us in the office.
Wait, what? He announced he was going to sign with a team before he told the team and before he met with the team. Am I hearing that correctly? Is that what he just said? And if so, how weird is that? Almost as weird as passing on playing with Steph, Clay, and Draymond so that he could play with Kyrie. But let's continue. What was the reasoning behind Durant's decision to join the Nets? Mark said that when he first spoke to Durant, after the decision was made, this is what KD said.
I love the system. I love how you guys play. You know, I see how hard you guys play. You were never out of games. You know, we could never take you guys lightly.
I mean, again, what? Am I correct in thinking that he chose the Nets because he loved their system? Because of how hard they played? That's the reason. I mean, are we really to believe that that was purely a basketball decision? Because if that's purely a basketball decision, as good as the Nets are and could be, are they really better at this point than the Warriors? Even a Warriors team that would have been missing Durant and Klay for most of, if not all of the season. Do they have a better system than the Warriors? Do they play harder than the Warriors? Were the Warriors ever out of games? Did anybody ever take Golden State lightly? I mean, that signing at the time seemed kind of weird, and it's getting more and more weird. Now, don't get me wrong. I really like the Nets. I love what Sean Marks has built as a GM. I love the way he's gone about building it. It's a team that was at rock bottom and had traded away most of their picks when he arrived. He's built this into a playoff team with some really smart moves and some really smart draft picks. I love their head coach, Kenny Atkinson. He's done an amazing job developing players, developing a culture and identity. And his teams do play hard, and they do get after you. There's no doubt. They are greater than the sum of their parts. But the Warriors played the Nets twice last season. They beat them by 6 in October. They beat them by 16 in November. And they never saw them again. So how much Nets basketball was Durant really watching last year? And by the way, the last time Durant faced the Nets, it was before Caris LeVert suffered that injury, before the team nosedived and went down, before they turned it around and reached the playoffs. So again, how familiar was Durant with the Nets before he made that announcement? Now, I know all the great players study the league like crazy, that these guys are league pass junkies. Like, remember, Scott Brooks came on recently. He would tell you that guys like John Wall and Bradley Beal know everything there is to know about pretty much anybody who's ever picked up a basketball. So I could see where Durant might have a level of familiarity with the Nets from afar. But that's got to be all that is, right? From afar. He's 3,000 miles away. How much can you really know about a team's culture from across the country when you only see them for a total of 96 minutes, 7 months before you make your decision? And if the decision was about the Nets and about how he'd fit in with that team, wouldn't he want to maybe go visit with that team, visit with the practice facility, maybe meet with the training staff? I don't know. The guy is coming back from a major Achilles injury. Wouldn't he spend some time there with everybody? Look, I know that Kevin Durant wanted to make it clear that he's his own man, that he cannot be recruited. But if you're taking a new job that is somewhat basketball related, don't you want to, I don't know, talk to the guys who are involved in basketball at your new job? Don't give a damn, Alvy. Hey, don't get me wrong. If he's choosing the Nets because of Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, and the team culture, that's a great choice. But if he's choosing the Nets because of Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, and the team culture, wouldn't he want to meet with Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, and experience the team culture? So, if we're being honest, how much of this was about choosing the Nets, and how much of this was about choosing to be in New York for non-basketball reasons and not wanting to be with the Knicks? And finally, how much of this is about wanting to get away from Golden State because he never got the credit that he thought that he would get for winning it all on a team that had already won it all before he arrived? And I'm not here to bash the Nets. I respect the hell out of the Nets. They've gone from being a laughing stock just a few years back to being a playoff team. It's got such a good reputation and plan that a Hall of Famer wants to sign with them without even meeting with them. I'm just saying it's weird. It's weird. Kevin Durant's done some weird things before, but that's weird, even for him.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
I do. But that's kind of weird. All right, when we come back, Tony Loughman joins us. That's next. More time for your phone calls. Podcast Wednesday is a thing. It used to be Podcast Tuesday. Podcast Wednesday, we are talking gambling. Todd Furman joins me. Look for that. That's going to drop later on today. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Let's talk some baseball. We are joined right now by the host of Change Up, DAZN's new MLB Whip Around show. Also an NHL Network host, friend of the program, legendary clone, former UCLA basketball manager, proud owner of a New York Knights jersey. You can watch Tony co-host Change Up, DAZN's new daily MLB Whip Around show throughout the season, including tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Tony Loughman is joining us. Tony, what's up?
Fellow clones, I want you to know that this show has made me a better dad. When my son wakes up from his naps, Rome, I give him the Willie and Casey, all those kisses, and let's go meet Mr. Rome. And it cracks me up. My wife doesn't get it. My son is too young to get it, but I enjoy it every single time I do it.
Nice job, Tony. He'll understand one day. He will understand one day, and he will thank you. All right, so with that said, you are an unabashed baseball fan. You love the game. You always have. How much fun are you having with Change Up and DAZN?
So much fun, and I appreciate you having me on. Logan Swaim, friend of both of ours, a creative genius, if he had come to me and said, hey, I'm getting ready to open up a Blockbuster Video, I still would have been on board just because I have that much confidence in him. This is such a good idea. You and I both know what Logan has done with Kyle Brandt and how good his direction was with Good Morning Football. He's doing the same kind of creative work with what we're doing at MLB Network. It is so much fun, and it is, as a baseball fan, it's the kind of show you want to watch and be a part of. I enjoy it every night.
Good for you. Tony Loughman is joining us. All right, so last night the Dodgers beat the Red Sox. Well, actually, let me go back, Tony, to Sunday night. They beat them Sunday night in 12. Then they get into Philadelphia around dawn. Then they smashed the Phillies 16-2 on Monday night. How impressed were you by those two performances?
So impressed. I think back to something that Coach Wooden used to say, when success turns your head, you face failure. You've talked about the Buffalo Bills. We all have over the years. It's remarkable. Troy Aikman himself said it was more impressive what they did, going to four straight Super Bowls and not winning them and staying hungry and getting back. The fact that the Dodgers have lost two World Series, and we know how tough it is in L.A. It's a great entertainment town, but not the most rabid sports town. The fact that Dave Roberts, a fellow Bruin, has kept this team on task, and you could make the case this is their best regular season. At one point last year, they were 10 games under 500, and I was starting to press the panic button. This year, they are a juggernaut, absolute juggernaut. And going into Boston, when the pitching matchups weren't the most favorable, and really sticking it to the Red Sox, that was a huge statement.
It's nearly impossible to get back after losing the World Series, and yet they've done that a couple of times. But the bullpen may be an issue. As an example, last night, Kenley Jansen comes in, he gets the first out, then he gives up a double, then a single, then another single, and then Bryce Harper walks off with a double. You are a professional broadcaster, but did I see you drop into the fetal position below your desk when that happened last night?
You did, and I got to be honest with you. One of the only reasons I'm comfortable doing this is because I remember when the Gauchos went to the NCAA tournament, how all in you were. I was like, if the Hall of Famer, and you deserve to be a Hall of Famer, if the Hall of Famer can be that passionate about his team, then I can do it. So I do. I make no effort to hide my Dodger fandom. And it's because of that that I can say this. I've enjoyed watching Kenley Jansen. No one will ever be a better number 74 in Los Angeles than Merlin Olsen. We all understand this. But last night, after that collapse, he said, I shouldn't have been out there. Not to make excuses, but I shouldn't have been out there. I go back to the wisdom of the great Jim Herrick, who said to Charles O'Bannon after we had our practice at the Kingdome before the Final Four, if you can't dunk, don't dunk. So, Kenley, if you can't play, don't play.
To that point, Tony, he got that first out by taking that shot off the ankle that went to David Freese at first base, and then he blew the save, and he was saying that he could not push off as he was pitching. Quote, "I'm not an excuses guy, but I should have come out of the game." I mean, so Tony, when somebody starts a sentence with, "I'm not an excuses guy," are they not about to make an excuse?
That's the point. You've taught us this over the years. One of my favorite things you do is you'll take post-game sound and do exactly what you just did, which is make the point that this was totally avoidable. He is the guy with the ball in his hand. He could have waved it and said, "Hey, Skip, hey, Dave Roberts, Doc, come on out. I can't keep going." I get that we want to celebrate and give tremendous credit to the guys who are mentally tough, physically tough, Willis Reed and Curt Schilling and down through time. But he was not effective. And then as they're walking off, he's limping off. And he wasn't limping off like Kirk Gibson doing the celebration as he's going around the bases in 88. It was just hard to watch, Rome. He has not been nearly as effective this year in the regular season. I don't have a great deal of confidence in him in that closer role.
At least he walked it off, Tony. At least he didn't go Paul Pierce. In fact, he should have gone Paul Pierce. He should have said, "Give me a wheelchair, man. Wheel me off this thing." They're going to have to probably amputate that ankle. Brutal loss for them. All right, so Cody Bellinger homers again last night. Tony Luffman, my guest. He leads the National League in home runs, runs, OPS. He's second in batting average, RBI, slugging percentage. There's no doubt. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, but is Bellinger starting to approach that level?
He sure seems like he is, and he's on this unbelievable arc. There was a gap in his swing that they were able to take advantage of in the World Series, and then last year, obviously, they were afraid of lefty-lefty matchups. I feel like the sky's the limit for him. We see Mike Trout and his frame and his build, and there's no doubt, I agree with you, he is the best player in the world. I'll share this about Cody Bellinger. A scout said, since Bo Jackson left the major leagues, he was the best athlete anyone had ever seen at his time. Bellinger is the most complete athlete since then. Now, Cody's not going to run through Brian Bosworth and do all the amazing things Bo did, but as a frame of comparison, if you're mentioned in the same breath as that guy, that's extraordinary. And his ability defensively, I feel like he is gaining on Trout, although Trout is just so special.
Tony Luffman talking some baseball with us. Tony, the Giants have won 12 of 15. How impressed are you with the way they've turned things around?
It is the most entertained I've been by anything from Northern California since Vic in NoCal made his call to you about the whole Tiger Woods cheating scandal, and he called him Cheetah. That level of amazement, because full credit to Bruce Bochy, it's not like Will Clark is playing, right? They were struggling out of the gates. It's not like they had an infusion of all these legendary Giants from the past. This isn't 2010, 2012, 2014. Mad Bum is still there, but a lot of those guys are gone. This is a true representation of the significance and the impact that a manager can have. It's the farewell tour of Bruce Bochy. I love his voice. He could read a cereal box, Rome, and I would watch every press conference. The deep pipes, the commanding presence. I'm all in on Bruce Bochy, and I love watching his team.
I love Boch. We love Boch. This is a huge Bruce Bochy house. Now, if we're talking about managers and we're talking about Northern California baseball, we'll talk about another guy that I'm really big on, Bob Melvin. The A's are 18-5, Tony, in the last month. They're 35-16 in the past 2 months. They're 4.5 games out of the AL West. They're tied for second in the wild card spot. What's it say about Bob Melvin that pretty much every single year you can count on this team to make a run like this?
That's the exact point. Last year was the Tupac turnaround. I looked up the date where they turned it on last year happened to be the birthday of the great Tupac. California love, cue it, you know we all love it. The fact that they do this every year, and they do it at a fraction of the cost. You mentioned the Philadelphia Phillies. They spent $500 million last summer. Real Muto, obviously Bryce Harper, the 13-year deal, $330 million. The A's don't spend that kind of money, and yet they're competitive. Why? Brad Pitt, Ocean's 11, Moneyball. Incredible what Billy Bean has done. I admire the idea that you can be competitive on a year-to-year basis without shelling out $1 zillion. And they keep doing it, and one of the biggest reasons why is the guy you pointed out. Bob Melvin sets the tone. He is such a good manager.
Tony Luffman is a studio host with NHL Network and DAZN. Tony, before you go, I had Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network on the program last hour, and he was talking about how pumped up he is about Fernando Tatis Jr. How do you explain this guy hitting .333, 14 bombs, 33 runs batted in just 55 games, and more importantly, at the age of 20?
You can't run away from the DNA, to borrow from the great Clark Kellogg. the second generation. Obviously, we remember his papa. But the thing about Tatis Jr., in addition to the maturity beyond his years, he throws, according to StatCast, harder than any shortstop in the big leagues. He made a play against the Dodgers and Austin Barnes, and you know I am a rabid Dodgers fan. I bleed Dodger blue. He ranged to his left towards the second base bag, made the stop, and threw the ball off of his knees, and it was a strike to get Barnes. It's the best play I've seen by a shortstop. We think back to Derek Jeter and Ozzie Smith and all these great plays where you're fading deep into the hole. I've never seen anyone make this kind of play. He's doing things we haven't seen before, and as you point out, he's 20 years old. The sky is the limit. If I'm a Padres fan, I'm excited, not about the distant future, the near future. This team is coming. They are really making progress, and as a Dodgers fan, I'm a little anxious about it. That's six straight division crowns, hoping for a seventh, but I feel like the Padres are closing thanks to Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, Will Myers. They've got some real talent. Eric Hosmer, they've spent the money in the right way, and I think they're on the come.
They've got a really good plan. They've got a really good farm system, and nothing ever lives up to the hype except Tatis. He's just smashing it. Tony, last thought before you go. You ranked the top five baseball video games of all time. You had MLB The Show 19 at number one. Tough to argue with that. But then you went old school with RBI Baseball and Baseball Stars at 2 and 3. Lay it out for me. Why RBI Baseball ahead of Baseball Stars?
Rome, I'm not much of an athlete. You know this. You've seen me up close. I'm not the most svelte. I'm not the most athletic. So to me, the player shapes on RBI Baseball make the game seem accessible, make the game seem playable. Baseball Stars, the players are straight up and down. They all look like Cody Bellinger. Makes me not want to play. RBI Baseball, the ball bounce off of them and make that sound. I feel much more comfortable and confident playing with guys on the screen that look kind of like me. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Of course it makes sense. Tony Luffman, my guest. You can watch him co-host Change Up. It's DAZN's new daily MLB whip-around show throughout the season, and look for it tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern if you have not seen it. He is an NHL Network host. You hear that, Tony? I'm sending it out, sending you out with your song.
I dig it. Thank you so much.
Tony Luffman, good job, Tony. Good friend of the program, clone, and I will say it once again, I'm proud of you, man. You're killing it. Great, great job. Tony Luffman started on our TV shows back in the day, took advantage of the opportunity, and is now just killing it. Well done. We will come right back, and I've got one last segment. We are wide open. Still to come. Let me think. Got one more thing that I wanted to hit. And that one more thing is Dion Waiters. Well, I'm definitely going to hit on that. Y'all swerve way out of your lane to crack a guy for gaining weight, and then you don't give that same guy any credit when he leans out, and especially if there was a reason for the weight gain in the first place. Don't forget, Jim Rohn Podcast, weekly podcast dropping later on today. Todd Furman joins us to talk gambling, gaming, the legalization of gambling, what that means to sports. What's it going to be like in the next year, next 5 years, next 10 years? If you don't gamble now, will you start to gamble? All of that and his background. That's going to be a good one. That's coming up later on today. Saturday night, Manny Pacquiao, boxing's only 8th division world champ. Politician, performer, Hall of Famer. He returns to take on Keith One-Time Thurman. The World Welterweight Championship is on the line, live from the MGM Grand in Vegas, Saturday night, 9 Eastern. Order now live on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app. ATP, it's time to answer your question. Ask the pros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices. You can get excellent customer service, and you can get it at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where there are better parts, better prices every day. Dear Jim, LeBron clearly loves his tacos. How do you know? That's a debatable statement. Let's put yourself out there. How do you know?
Taco Tuesday!
When you gather around the table with the family for a home-cooked meal, what's your favorite, and who makes it, you or Janet? Thanks. Carol in Coastal Carolina. My favorite meal for the family when we gather around the table is Flank Steak Friday.
Taco Tuesday.
I cook it. I'm a grill master, man. Janet Rome is amazing. Janet Rome is amazing at everything. Janet Rome would be the first to tell you that she's not, how do I put this? Maybe not a master chef. Maybe not her thing. Now, she might not be culinary inclined. Now, what she does really well. She does three or four things really, really well. P.S. Have your kids ever tried making dinner for the fam? Logan is a big egg burrito guy. Logan will egg burrito it up. So if we want to go breakfast for dinner on occasion, he will do that. I've got a pretty amazing family on a lot of different levels, but when it comes to culinary things, not so much so. I'm kind of the king, man, like most guys. I grill. What's better? Flank Steak Friday.
Taco Tuesday.
Janet will go Taco Tuesday. Except she'll do it on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Rome, the truth of having a family around the table for dinner is a treasure. I grew up one of 13 kids. And we had dinner with the family every day, and people were amazed. Not only is the king feeding the family together, he is engaging everyone, and everyone is engaging back. It is rare, and he is cherishing it. War family, war Taco Tuesday, meaning more than just food. Schmitty in SoCal, that is a great email. Schmitty, you did something really rare. It's something that I'm currently asking for, but rarely receiving. You were able to elevate the conversation. And yes, I will admit I've had a little bit of fun with him kind of dorking it up with Taco Tuesday. But Schmitty, you're so right about the king. You're so right about LeBron. He not only got everybody around the table for dinner, which is awesome. He engaged everybody, which is awesome. And they reciprocated, which is awesome. Family first. You're right. Tip of the hat to the king. Even if he's wearing a shirt that reads, "It's Tuesday somewhere." Right.
Tuesday somewhere.
Right, Bron. Right in front of your face. Right in your backyard. Right at your table. All day long. You're supposed to wear that shirt on Monday. And then serve your tacos on Tuesday. Dear Rome, good to see Tony move up from your show and get his own studio show. Regards, Dasmati in the mailroom. Francis and Glendale, war Marty and Rome on the two-man luge. Hey, jerk. It's war Rome and Marty. Dasmati in the mailroom, where? San Gabriel City Hall? San Gabriel Transit? Rosemead Parks and Rec? What do you mean? Moved up to where? Dear Jim, I also heard the Dodgers were a great team. I do, however, have to respectfully disagree. Regards, October. Good stuff, Lee. Really good take. Rome, KD made an important decision without doing due diligence. I'm sure this won't come back to bite him in the future. Regards, the Dolce Group. Damn, Drew. You get off me, man. Drew in West LA. We're irate using security cameras as Instagram Live. If not for the Dolce Group, you would never know that story about that valet dusting me. So be grateful for the Dolce Group. Hey, Drew. Hey, bro. You sound like you're the one who lost all that money. It was me. And I got dusted. All right, so somebody made the jump from email to the phones earlier today. I'm not saying they made it successfully. I'm saying they made the jump from email to the phones earlier today. Eric in Falls Church. He's a loser. This guy wants to give it a shot. You know, I read emails from Geoff and Lincoln. I've never taken a phone call that I know of from Geoff and Lincoln. but he figures if a loser like Eric can make the jump, then he himself can. Let's find out. We go to Lincoln. Geoff, what's up?
What's up, Romy?
Yo, dude, hey, are you sure you're up for this?
So I'm up for it. If you're up for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Eric in Falls Church, big loser, obviously. He gets his own walk-up music. But there is a bigger loser in the jungle by the name of Matt in L.A., and I wrote a little song for his walk-up music. It goes a little something like this. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka. Matt can't fight this feeling. He likes to smoke the tree. Occasionally he likes to dabble in the PCP. Ooka chaka.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Trash. I mean, Geoff, if you were sitting around thinking to yourself, what could I do to embarrass myself and my family and my community? In fact, the entire state of Nebraska. What's the one thing I could do on this show that it could truly embarrass anybody within a 1,000-mile radius of me? That would be it. Did you really think that was going to come off well? Alvin, can you spin that back at all for 1 second? Like, that you had confidence that that was going to be a good idea? I mean, you'd have to think to yourself, well, what could I do? Like, you want to suck. You want to be bad. There's no way that guy thought that that was going to be a good idea, that that was going to work. Geoff, like, I always had concerns about you, but then you show up like that, and I know, man, you're so much worse than I thought. A parody? A parody about Matt in L.A. A parody with that song.
Eric in Falls Church, big loser, obviously. He gets his
good
own
voice,
walk-up
too.
Music. But there is a bigger loser in the jungle by the name of Matt in L.A., and I wrote a little song for his walk-up music. It goes a little something like this. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka. Matt can't fight this feeling. He likes to smoke the tree. Occasionally he likes to dabble in the PCP. Ooka chaka.
That's not a good call. No.
I guess I probably should let you get to the chorus.
I don't like that call. Not a very
one guy calling another guy a loser and doing it by making that call. Yeah, Geoff, that didn't work out real well for you. Just stick to doing what you do best, sending me terrible emails. This is why guys can't do it. This is the rare breed that can jump from Twitter to email to the phones. And we're out of time. Huge call brought to you by the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. Once again, Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao is taking on Keith One-Time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship live from the MGM Grand in Vegas, Saturday night, 9 Eastern. You can order live right now on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app. Geoff, don't ever call this show ever again. My thanks to Steve Elkington. Check out Adam Hawk's Twitter feed. Figure out how to get involved on some of that action. Get in on some of that action. Daniel Jeremiah was in. Tony Luffman also came in. Podcast Wednesday dropping later on today. Make sure you look for that. Todd Furman is my guest. We will have that out in a couple hours. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you later. We're out.